I would invite you all just to close your eyes for a moment. And with your eyes closed, I'd like you to imagine you're in a desert. Imagine it's dusk in the desert. Everywhere you look, there is sand. The air is dry but cool. You notice the sand under your feet, cooler still, as you walk through the desert, pausing to breathe in the dusty air. You look behind you to see what footprints you have left in the sand. Considering the path you have taken to get here, do you turn to retrace your steps, walking in the path you have walked before? Or do you press on through the vast expanse of sand, creating a new path, new footprints in the sand? I invite you now to open your eyes again. I don't know about all of you, but I have never been to an actual desert. But I have actually tried to recreate one. When Kara and I were serving as youth ministry leaders in our parish in Windsor, our youth ministry coordinator suggested that as our Lenten project, we would create a desert. Believe me, we were all very excited at the idea of this. That is, until we saw the truck filled with 50-pound bags of sand. I don't remember how many bags exactly there were, but it ended up being a couple thousand pounds of sand that we had to move from the church parking lot into the church hall, which was in the basement of the church. Once we got the sand downstairs, we laid tarps across the floor in the hall, and one bag at a time, our desert took shape before our eyes. We blocked out all the windows and hung some lights above a canopy on the ceiling for a starry effect, and made sure that the temperature of the basement was above freezing but just below comfortable, kind of like how a night in the desert would feel. We weren't trying to create a place to be comfortable necessarily, but a place to come to be with God. We offer groups of 10 to 12 people a guided meditative walk through the desert, a roughly 45-minute experience. During their barefoot walk through, participants were encouraged to think of their own life journey, to think of how they had come to be in this desert. At one point, they were able to write down a special Lenten prayer to God, particularly asking for forgiveness, for anything they felt the need to ask forgiveness for. Holding their prayer, they retraced their steps and eventually buried their prayers in the middle of the sand as a means of offering them back to God. After reading about God's promise of water in the desert in Isaiah, the participants were given water in their desert experience as a sign that God not only hears our prayers, but promises to forgive. It was truly a beautiful experience. But perhaps the most beautiful part about it, one that continues to be talked about among those youth ministry leaders that created the desert, was what came at the end. When the walk finished, participants were invited to have their feet, now dusty and sandy from our desert, washed by the youth leaders. Having had the privilege to wash some of the participants' feet, I will tell you that it is something I will never forget. It was a truly powerful moment. A moment to tell them that the water, the forgiveness God promises, does not stop when you leave the desert. The water, God's forgiveness, continues to cleanse us afterward. To kneel at someone's feet and wash away the dust and dirt with water, and then to gently wrap their feet in a towel to dry them off, was the perfect ending. And Jesus, after walking the dry, dusty, and sandy roads of Galilee, used this as part of his perfect ending with his disciples. It ended perfectly because it showed perfect love. Love where and when they had walked together. But washing their feet was also love in that it prepared them to continue walking, even after Jesus would leave them. The disciples didn't get it, though. And we hear that it is specifically Peter, again, who doesn't get it. To show the disciples that he truly is the one who had come to serve rather than be served, Jesus kneels at the disciples' feet and washes their feet, each in turn. For Jesus, this service is what the disciples are to carry on after Jesus leaves. But it doesn't have to be just foot washing. The foot washing represents service to one another, in whatever shape or form that might take. And this service, like all of Jesus' earthly ministry, is rooted in love. Jesus expects us to serve one another as he has served us. To serve others by doing something as simple as washing someone's feet is to show them that we love them enough to take time out from our own life and give something back to them. I remember the first time on a Maundy Thursday back at my home parish of St. David's in Windsor, that foot washing was going to be incorporated into the service. Talk about fear and trepidation. I distinctly remember some people say they were going to go home after work to wash their feet first before coming to the service, just in case they were chosen to have their feet washed. It seemed to me like people were more anxious and self-conscious about having their feet washed than they were about washing someone else's feet. People were more hesitant to be served than they were to serve. And maybe they were hesitant because they didn't know what being served in this sense by having their feet washed was like. Was their fear and trepidation simply out of having someone wash their feet, something entirely uncommon in our culture? Or was it the vulnerability of allowing themselves to be served by someone else? Probably a bit of both. After having led the desert walk for the participants, our youth ministry coordinator had us, the leaders, go through the meditative experience, the same as we had encouraged others earlier. Upon finishing, we had our feet washed. From my desert experience, I can tell you that I much preferred washing the feet of others who had come out of the desert than having my own feet washed. To allow someone else to serve me in that way, to become vulnerable in that way, to let someone love me in that way, was harder than I expected it to be. But when someone serves you in that way out of love, that remains with you for a lifetime. Over the past couple of weeks, as I've carried out my Elgin Street survey, I've come to realize that I'm not the only one that feels hesitant to be served by someone else. As I surveyed each of the 25 businesses I visited, I found out that not only did a vast majority not know anything about St. John's, but most of them had no idea how St. John's could help them. By asking them how we can serve them, we're asking them to put themselves into a place of vulnerability. We're asking them, how can we serve you? In fact, some of them even seemed uneasy at the thought of it. As they politely said there was nothing we could do for them, I could hear the inner dialogue. How can a church possibly help us? How can a church possibly serve us? Maybe no one's asked them how they could be served before. Maybe they just don't know what it's like to be served. Or maybe they're hesitant to be served because they don't know that our motivations are to simply to be of service to them. I'd like to suggest to you now that we are in the midst of our own desert here on Elgin Street. There might not be any sand, but as we walk and serve in this desert, we can still see the footprints that we have made. If this is our desert, which direction will our footprints go? Will we double back on where we've been, complacent and satisfied with the fact that our neighbors don't know much about us? and don't know how we can serve them? Or will we forge ahead, making new footprints in the sand? If we choose to walk with our neighbors, and I think we will, how is it that we can come to wash our neighbors' feet? Not that we're going to be going up and down the street asking people to take their shoes off so we can kneel at their feet and clean them. Rather, how is it that we can serve our neighbors? Maybe it's having a rotating showcase or a local business spotlight somewhere in the building. Or maybe it's offering the use of some of our space or starting a new program or ministry. Or maybe it's as simple as advertising on our bulletin boards or continuing to support them by buying their products and using their services. I don't know exactly what the how looks like yet. But if we follow Jesus' footprints and serve because we love, and for no other particular reason than to show that St. John's is a place that reaches out to its community out of loving service, the next time our neighbors are asked what they know of St. John's, they might reply, "You're the church that served us. You're the ones that washed our feet." Amen.